when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul cries out.
just like to thank the Lord tonight for His mercy upon me and my family. Brother Fleming, I know that we both could have been in the path of that storm Sunday night. And, I thank God that He gives us wisdom to make wise decisions. You know, the Lord keeps us from danger seen and unseen. And, you know, it's, you know, I know Brother Fleming gave his own testimony, but I know in our case, we, sometimes we go through Mayflower, sometimes we go through Sherwood, and either if we'd have gone through Mayflower, we'd have been right in the middle of that storm. The timing would have been just spot on, and I thank God that we didn't, and kept us safe. I thank God that co-workers were all kept safe. A man I work with, I've worked with for a long time, his mother was right there on Dam Road, which is right there in Mayflower, where it went. Well, he was in the path, and she was kept safe, his family was kept safe, many of my co-workers and their families in Bologna and Mayflower, everyone was kept safe. I know that there was tragedy, and I'm sorry for that. I don't want to fail to give the Lord praise. I want Him to know that I'm mindful of His mercy upon me and my family and my friends, and even in the midst of all the turmoil and strife and sorrow that happens in this world, God is still on the throne. Praise God. And so, anyway, my soul does cry out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise.
Well, I don't have much to say about the tornado in April 10th of 1965. There was a tornado that came through Conway Saturday afternoon about 5:30, and we had a storm cellar, and we headed to the storm cellar, but when we saw it was going to miss us, we just stood out and watched it. It was down south of Conway, and this lady ran into an Assembly of God church, and it just destroyed that Assembly of God church, and so she was killed. There were 6 people killed. So when I was going home Sunday, I never dreamed what I was about to get into, but it poured on me all the way, so I got through Mayflower, and so about I went to the supermarket at Conway, and when I came out of the supermarket, there were 3 ambulances headed south, and I thought, well, it's been a wreck, you know. I didn't think about a storm, so I got home, and my phone rang, and it was Brother Daniels, and his son got caught in that. He was caught. They had damaged cars and trees down on I-40, and so his son was caught in that. And that's the first I knew about the tornado. But anyway, coming down here tonight on the freeway, you can still see all kinds of carnage, you know, from the freeway. So anyway, like Brother Painter said, it makes you thankful that you're spared. I know. Back in the late 90s, I wasn't in church, and one night I heard this roaring sound. It just scared me. And I got down on the floor, and I said, oh, Lord, please protect me. And it hit a warehouse about a block from me and just took the roof off. And then it went downtown in Little Rock and destroyed a Harvest Foods. So anyway, my nephew lives out 8 miles east of Bologna, and his kids go to the Bologna school. So he's got a boy 8 years old that was in an art class with one of these boys that got killed. He was about 8 years old. There were 2 brothers, 1-7, 1-8. So thank God that we were spared. You know, I was concerned about Brother Painter. I understand it just hit about 4 miles from him. But you know, when you experience things like that, you just realize it's just the grace of God. You're thankful you're under His covering. So praise God. Thank Him for taking care of everybody.
I wasn't in the path of this storm, but a lot of you that are from Little Rock here, living here, remember the one in 75? Philip wasn't born yet, but I had Tracy, and there was a tornado. We heard it sounded like a freight train. I mean, I don't know if y'all ever been close to hear that, a tornado that. And so Stan went and looked outside. He goes, come on, grabbed Tracy and went in a closet. His mind was that it was going to come get us. Might as well get killed right away because it was coming toward us. Well, we started just, praying and huddling in the closet. And next thing you know, we didn't hear anything. I mean, it was like it was right there. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't there. We went outside. That tornado had come down our street and made a turn and went and took all these houses. And the Crystal Hill, y'all know that Crystal Hill Church over there. It's a new church now. But they took it away. And it was like, and it wasn't a Saturday night when we had services. And, of course, we didn't have service because, or maybe they did. I don't know. We couldn't get out because all the streets were closed, wires down and everything. And I know Brother Tucker was alive at the time. And but I don't remember much of details. All I remember is that, oh, my God, all night I was thanking God for saving our lives because only him that did it. I mean, he made that tornado turn the other way instead of coming toward us. And that was the closest I came in a storm like that. We have a cellar now, and I tell anybody that's close, hey, y'all, come on. We'll get crunched up down there in the cellar if we have to. But I would much rather be here in the house of God. If anything happened, if I'm going to go, I'd rather be in God's house. But I don't want to forget those times that God spared my life. So many different situations. But since it was storm Sunday night, that brought my mind to that night, that day on a Saturday that in 75 that he spared me for some reason. And I'm so, so thankful and appreciative.
It's good to be home again. I always miss being here when I'm not here. It's the older you get, the better home feels to you. I don't have to be gone very many days when I start wishing I was home. But I always, enjoy the meetings, and the meeting in Louisville was a good meeting last weekend, and we had a situation in the churches in Montreal that had to be taken care of, and so the Lord helped us with that, and we got back home safe, and I'm thankful to be back home. And then this storm that hit the other night, I'm just always thankful that the Lord lets us, it just seems like God's protection hand is on his people. And over the years, that all of the devastation that's been around us, and nobody's had any real severe damage or injuries, it's just to me amazing. And I can't tell you how many telephone calls I got wanting to know about all of us, the church. Different ministers from the body called and wanted to know. Different ones texted me and wanted to know if we were all okay. And, of course, after we saw what all did happen, we started trying to get a hold of Brother Painter and Brother Fleming. And so once we found out they were okay, well, we were delighted. And so thankful to the Lord tonight for his, I still believe that we should you know, I don't think we ought to count anything less than God's blessings that's good. Because I don't care if it is just something, you know, natural that is just a natural blessing, you know. God made it. And to me, if we're beneficiaries of His creation and His goodness, what He created was good. And we're part of that creation. We're beneficiaries of what He provided. And I think He ought to get credit for it all. You know, I don't think that, I know there's people, Jesus said, any man that cometh up any other way except by me, the same as a thief and a robber. You know, so if you think if anybody thinks they're righteous outside of God, that's a misconception. And and we're illegal in claiming any credit for it, or just even giving credit to anything outside of God. So if life is good, there's a company that electronic company. They make the name of it's LG. They make TVs and washers and dryers and appliances and cell phones. I've got an LG G2 phone now, and that their LG stands for life is good. That's their motto. That's what it stands for. And so they've got a little choir, you know, one of their jingles for notification on your phone is these little guys, you know, in this choir a cappella saying, life is good. I thought they were saying Christ is good for a long time. I thought, this is a righteous company. I found out it wasn't that. So, but they're still right. Life is good, especially with God. And, I know that, there's so much in life to endeavor. It's like the song Brother Leniger sings, I'm a wayward pilgrim. Brother Brett, you got to keep that alive for him. We're, even though we're on a journey, and this is a pilgrimage. A couple of weeks ago was when I don't remember exactly what I was working on, but I know the Lord was touching me in it, and I know I really got a deeper thought in Israel coming out of Egypt and what God put them through for 40 years and how that, he brought them from just a small group of 70 to that, and put them in Egypt. And of course, they learned the ways of Egypt. God put them in slavery, put them in a condition to cause them to want Him. Of course, they knew about Him. You know, their heritage went back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and so they were aware of the covenant that God made with Abraham, and that they were beneficiaries of that covenant. And of course, I'm sure many of them, you know, it didn't mean a lot to them in Egypt in slavery. I'm sure that, you know, there's I know that there were some that kept it alive. Aren't you glad for our forefathers that have kept this vision alive? Even though this body's been through many things, the people of God have been through so much in almost a 2,000-year period of this, the coming through the dark ages of the Gentile times, and still we're in a world that is becoming grossly more and more corrupt. And even God's people are, I'm sure that if the Lord would reveal to us, you know, let us really clearly see, we would realize that we're connected to God, but there's a disconnection or a lack of connection that God wants from us, and I'm sure He's going to get it before this is over with. But those children in Israel, or in Egypt, the children of Israel in Egypt, I should say, they're in slavery. You know, no doubt God put them there to cause them to finally get to a place to start crying out to Him for deliverance. And then even in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, if you want to look at that, I don't know that I'm going to talk on this, but it might get me started on something. And I don't mean to frighten you with that. I do want to say I appreciate the brethren that helped carry the load around here. Appreciate Brother Fisher and Brother Painter and Brother Tally and their labor here and the Lord and helping us and all the brethren that that bear up under the load. Just looks like I can call on any of them and they'll just step in and take hold. And I appreciate that. I when I leave here, I know everything's going to be all right. You know, at least... I'm not worried about the people of God here that are the, what I would say, the faithful. You know, every church has pillars and faithful people that help carry the load. And I appreciate that. And then there's always those that are coming up under them. And so... Brother Ross, Sister Smith and I got to spend a couple nights with Rachel, our granddaughter, and her husband, Andy and Rachel Haislip. We went out to eat with them, and I got tickled when the waiter brought him the bill, his bill, and he said, "Thank you, Mr. Hazellip," and... So I've got a new name for my grandson-in-law. I won't tell you what it is right now, but anyway, we enjoyed spending time with them. And Brother Ross is always kidding me about getting my granddaughter. He wanted to know if I had any more girls that I could send down that way. I told him, "No, but I've got a bunch of boys I'm going to bring down here and visit your girls." Of course, I didn't ever tell him. I was just kidding, but maybe, you know, I won't let him think about it for a while anyway. But anyway, we appreciate our young people and those that are coming up and coming in, and God's changing people's lives. But here in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, the first verse said, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Jesus had to learn that, didn't he? On his fast, and he quoted that scripture that came to his mind that, you know, that he had to fully depend on God. Like Israel was, had, you know, there they were out in the desert, and there was, if God didn't help them, they didn't have any help. And yet, manna fell from heaven, little coriander seed that they could gather up only a day at a time. They couldn't gather up any and store it up, and they couldn't can it. They couldn't fix it up where they could have it when the weather changed, or when it, you know, it rained for several days and they couldn't get out and work or whatever. But every day there was enough coriander seed. Wonder what did happen on days that it rained. You know, wonder if they had to get out there and gather it while, said there's, you know, it looks like rain, we better get the coriander seed in before it rains. Or, you know, whatever. They did, but they couldn't store it up. But God provided for them daily. And the Lord had them out there to learn a lesson. And then they were, you know, they were together. They were part of the elect of God learning these commandments. And God told them, you have to learn this to be able to take the land. And, you know, I know Egypt is, you know, I know you all know, it's a type of sin. When you come out of the world of sin and you come in here, it's a new life. At least it should be. You don't ever want to get so familiar with the life outside of the body of Christ. You should become absorbed into this. This should absorb your life. It should mean more to you than anything. And I know Jesus, you know, he made some hard statements, but he made some good ones to go along with it. You know, one of the things he said was, he that, and you have to get the spirit of what he was saying when he said, he that accept a man hate his mother and his father. Maybe you could put that up there for me. you know, he didn't mean you're supposed to hate, but he meant that you can't put anything above God and his calling to his people. And but he gave one. There it is. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He's just showing that you have to despise the flesh and the works of it, and the things that about the flesh that you put, you know, that may be valuable to you, but if it means more value to you than God, you can't go with God. He has to be first in the family of God. And then he added this. He made this statement. He said, as many as leave houses and lands, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, wives and husbands, you know, as many as leave those, you know, in other words, he said in another place, in Luke 12, he said, you may think that I've come to bring peace, but I'm telling you, I came to bring a fire, a division. One place he said division. He knew that this was going to divide people's lives. He knew that things were going to happen, that you'd have to make a choice. There'd be a choice in what you made about which way you was going to go. You're going to go with God or you're going to go with the flesh, you know, the desires of the flesh and the emotions of the flesh. And so the Lord put them out there and to cause them to become absorbed with the life that God gave them together with all the ordinances and the commandments and one another. Don't you know it took some adjustments to get along with one another? They took all those slaves, freedom. He freed them in a way, but he, in another way, he made slaves out of them. they became his slave. Out there in the wilderness, I mean, they were enslaved to what God was doing to them. Paul made a statement like that, didn't he, in Ephesians, when he said, I, the prisoner of the Lord. I don't think Paul was at all just meaning I'm in a dungeon or I'm in a prison. He knew that no matter where he was God's prisoner. God had him in his hand, and God was using him, and God was touching his life. I know sometimes it's hard for us to really get a hold of that. In fact, one of the thoughts that I've had down through the years is that, God, I want to get to a place that I'll serve you without you having to put pressure on me to get me to do it. You know, in other words, it seems so easy. The flesh just gets entangled. You just get entangled in things in this life. We got to be careful not to let things in this life get tangled up in things that causes us to put before the things of God. And then there's also, it's easy to get conditioned where you feel comfortable, you know, with where you're at. And I think that's okay for a while. Seems like God allows that for a while. God will let you get to a certain place where you just feel comfortable, you know, just feel like, God, life is good. But then, do you ever feel that nudge, like you can feel it coming, like God saying, I ain't going to let you stay here. You know, I'm going to put some pressure on you to move forward. I want you to move a little bit. You can feel that. But I guess some of my thoughts about this is how when I came to the body, there was so, back at that time, there was so much excitement. There was a lot of invigorating things going on that you know, when there was a meeting, I mean, everybody wanted to go to that meeting. I mean, you just couldn't hardly, I mean, everybody wanted to go, and everybody found a way. Now, it's hard to find anybody that's got time to go or can go, but I'll guarantee you, it will come back again. God, you know, God takes us through cycles and seasons, and God knows what he's doing, and when he makes things so exciting that you can't stand it, you'll be there. But I want to get to a place in the Lord that he don't have to move to make me get excited, or to be faithful, or, you know, and I understand that, you know, he's working on us, and we are who we are. Every once in a while, different people tells me this. They'll say, well, it's like Brett Weiniger says, it is what it is. That's his famous saying. Whatever it is what it is. Well, it is what it is. But God, that can change it, you know, and that can change things. And even though there's some things that we ought to be wise enough to know, you know, we're going to have to wait on the Lord. But I don't want to lose sight of those things that I know that we're to be bone of one another's bones, flesh of one another's flesh. We're members one of another. And we can't let anything disconnect us from that kind of calling and that kind of uniqueness. I was thinking while y'all were testifying tonight, I thought I might just read a familiar few verses to you in the 23rd Psalm. I thought we might just read that here tonight. I am thankful that I'm not only thankful that none of us were hurt or harmed, but I'm also, you know, praying for and have compassion for those who suffered loss, suffered devastating losses. Lives were lost. And you know, homes. And well, I just thought, you know, the other, when did this hit? Sunday night, wasn't it? Sister Smith and I, we headed back. We heard, I mean, we had no idea it would be like that, but we were going to stop on the way back and get a room, but we just drove on through the night and it just crashed home after we got home. But, you know, we just, when we heard, you know, the bad storms that were coming, and we knew they were moving the direction we was driving from, we thought we need to try to get in if we can. I finally just crashed. I had to get her to, I normally never have her to have to drive, but I had to get her to see if she could wake up enough to drive an hour or two to help me out. I just couldn't go any further, but she did. She was able to help me. And but when I woke up the next morning and saw the devastation, I just was shocked that it was, you know, so close. And my heart still goes out to those that have lost. And Brother Brett checked with he talked to me about maybe trying to get, you know, a team of brethren to go maybe Saturday and help with some cleanup in Valonia or Mayflower, wherever might be needed. But he checked with Red Cross, and they said they had plenty of help right now. So, but, and I'm thankful for that. I'm still thankful that there's people that care enough about one another, and there's churches that are trying to work and labor to help reach out. And we may need to do more on our part to be a part of that in the future when these kind of things happen. But the 23rd Psalm said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I don't think that means that you shouldn't want anything, but I think that it does mean that my wanting shouldn't go beyond whatever God provides. It's sufficient. I'll trust in the Lord and His what He's, where He's got me, what He's doing in my life. I don't think it means that you certainly shouldn't want whatever is needful, but there is such a benefit in serving God and having Him as your shepherd. Sometimes I think we don't realize just how much God's watching over us, how much He a shepherd He is. And, you know, then it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." I mean, you got to be a sheep when you read this. You know, you got to realize there's a shepherd, sheep, and I'm the sheep, and he's put me in a lush pasture. Green pasture, plenty of food, plenty of sustenance to take care of me. God did that for me. I'm not on a rocky mountain or a barren land or in the desert, but I'm laying in green pastures. Especially, we are to realize that spiritually, just how much what God has given us. We've got spiritual food to eat. We're just, it's running out, it's running up, we're running over with it. There, that song, Sister Jody sang, there's corn and wine in Zion. There's plenty of corn, there's plenty of wheat, there's plenty to eat, and there's plenty of wine, there's plenty of the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit of God. I'm so glad for that. I'm glad that you can feel enough God, Sister Inez, to take off running and jumping up and down and worshiping Him, and there's a liberty to do that, and that it can get on all of us and make us want to rejoice. And He leads me beside still waters. There's peace. God can give you peace when there seems to be no peace. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. You can trust Him. You can, you know, people, you know how the flesh is. The flesh just is excited by negative thing, negativism. Things going wrong. You know, when things go wrong, people get excited about that. That's why the news is, everything on the news is negative. And I just can't let myself stay in that frame of mind. Not the kind of God I'm serving. You know, I mean, I think, you know, there's things that happen. I don't think we are to not be concerned or not realize that, you know, when there's, you know, things that are serious and affect us, well, we have to search out God and look at God. But I still think we are to be reaching out to Him in faith and asking Him to help us and in everything in life. And then we are to do it all with thanksgiving. We are to realize that, you know, if you got problems today, just drive out to Mayflower over to Valonia and just think, you could have woke up, you could have walked out your door, or you could have walked out, you could have not had a door to walk out of. You know, one house, a man and both his daughters died, and eight people escaped, but the man and both daughters was killed. And that'd be one thing to be physically, you know, hurt, really hurt, but just to lose all your belongings. I told my wife the next morning, I said, you know, we talk about Job, you know, just, you know, we just rattle it off, what happened to Job. But, you know, this man, I mean, he lost all of his cattle, everything. And while somebody was telling him that, somebody else would come in and tell him about another devastation. And then all of his children were killed. And, I mean, just one thing right after the other. I said, how much can a man take? You know, this man was a, you know, wonder God said he had a perfect, he was perfect. His heart and God himself was convinced that he would endure what he was going through. And God allowed him. He allowed that kind of test to be on him. This man had to be a great man of God that God saw so much in that he put some of the very finishing touches that would put him in the bride. I know he didn't make the bride back there, but I'll tell you one thing. When he came up, he didn't have a whole lot. When he got baptized in water and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I think he felt gravity leaving him. I think he felt like I'm fixing to move out of life's soul. You know, here we've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and what a message that God's gave us. How many of you think you could endure what Job endured? I thought, God, there's people just to lose your everything that you own. Just walk, you know, all you got is your clothes that you got on your back. These poor people. I can't tell you how many people have emailed me. People, all customers that we've had for many years that's bought standard poodles from us, emailing us, asking if we're all right, and telling us they're praying. They've been praying for us in our area. And, you know, just wanting to check in and see. Well, you know, I'm hoping at some point we're going to get enough excitement about God moving in another way of, you know, touching lives and healing people and raising the dead. But God's evidently got to get people in a condition. And I know the Lord's working on that, and I, you know, but even at that, you know, when David wrote this, I know Jesus picked it up as a writing for himself. But no doubt David felt these words. He felt, you know, God is my shepherd. God had took care of him through so much. Then he said, He restoreth my soul. It's important, I think, for us to realize that God is, there's a restoration going on. There's man that got separated from God. Sin separated man. And God is in a, there's a restoration process available to get your soul restored back to God. Thank God. Thank God that my soul's been restored back to Him and the family. I'm in the family of God tonight. My soul's been made alive. I was without God. Death. No wonder he mentions that later. No wonder he realizes here we are, people walking in the valley of death. But he realized, my soul's been restored. And even Jesus, when he came here to this earth, he knew that man, he was living in an environment where man's soul was disconnected from God. I don't know how God helped him and illuminated his mind in such a way. I've been thinking quite a bit about the Garden of Eden lately, because of the meeting down in Jacksonville. By the way, Brother Painter does have the Houston video DVDs and the Jacksonville tapes. I'm considering maybe us men having a playing that Jacksonville meeting, you know, in the, at some point, and stopping it and talking about it, because there's so much that was brought out concerning the devil subject, that I, even some things that I didn't have any idea that anybody in this body was embracing. But I mentioned it to you how, you know, there was all kinds of views, and I guess the most exaggerated was that there was a world before this world over a billion years ago that was destroyed, and this one's been reconstructed. That's called the gap theory, and it's been out there for a while, but I didn't know anybody in here was embracing that. And then that there was a human race before Adam and Eve. I didn't know anybody was embracing that, and that's not a brand new doctrine. That's been out there too, but I have a problem with it, and I want to go through. In fact, I could have went through that tonight, but you know, the Bible said that the first man, Adam, it talks about the first man, and it also says that sin came into this world by one man, and death by sin. I'd like to know what happened to them. If they didn't die, if there wasn't any death till Adam sinned, what happened to them people? I just don't think that we need to be delving into mysteries that we don't have very much any kind of Bible to substantiate. I think we got enough problems dealing with what we do have, the Word of God we do have. You know, and then the Bible said the hidden things belong to God. And I think we ought to leave them with Him. There's some things God's not told us about, you know. And until He reveals it, I think we, you know, We got enough trouble trying to figure out what he has revealed and get that working in our lives. And but anyway, we have those tapes. If any of you want them, we'll see Brother Painter. I don't know. We may have to find out more Sunday who is. I don't know where all the saints of the Most High God are tonight, but they're not all here. But I want you to know I'm thankful for those of you that are. You know, years ago, I used to go to some of the older body churches, and I'd visit them on a weeknight, you know. And I'd know they'd have 100, 200 people in that church. And I'd go, and there'd be 50 or 60 people there. I'd think, what is going on? But now I know. Anyway, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He is leading us, or to be led by the Spirit of God. And even in the Old Testament, He led His people. God's a leader. If you'll follow Him, He'll lead you. That's what a shepherd does. He leads. He takes the sheep where they need to go. He cares after them. He takes care of them. And He has led us these many years. I'm trusting in Him. My trust is in God tonight. I know He's leading this body. I know He's leading this people. I know He wants to lead all of us. And He is a great God, and there's such a magnificence about God that I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn how God is so patient and long-suffering, and how He's always there for you. I don't care what kind of mistake you make. I hadn't found anybody yet, hardly anybody. Maybe way down in the end of their life, or, you know, there's a few people that have got so far away from God they can't touch Him, or He won't touch them. But He's such a gracious God that if you fall on your face and call out to Him, He'll come to you. I don't care who you are or what you've done. Now, that don't mean that everything's fixed, you know. You'll reap what you've sown. You'll pay for the scars that's in your life. There'll be things that, you know, we may do that will hinder us and go with us. We may have to work it out in our salvation. But He is still there, tender mercy of God is still there to reach back out to you and say, I love you. You know, this is I know our calling is for the bride. I know that's what God's working on right now. God is working on making up His bride, the remainder of it. And that's what this calling is about. He's going to finish a work, and His bride is going to be made up. And right now, the message of this body is for you and I. Our calling is to make the bride. That's what God's called us to do. He hasn't called you to be in the new earth. Now, there's a lot of people that's coming this that are not going to make the bride. I've got enough foreknowledge that I can see that some people can't make the bride. But that's the calling. He's not saying, get as many people as you can to make the new earth and the bride. No, the message is an overcoming message. Even, you know, when I realize that we're going to have to overcome sin to make the... If you're in the new earth calling, you'll still have to overcome sin. So, you know, why not get busy once you realize it? We're going to have to overcome the flesh. And you young people, I know, you know, I'm a preacher that when I came in this, I was just a young man. I was just a young preacher in my late 20s. And I only had one child, me and Sister Smith. And I could tell at times, you know, he didn't feel like it was fair because he was drafted in this. Some of you kids probably feel that way. You know, you didn't make up your mind to go to church. You have to go to church. Is that right, Sister Claire? Could you stayed home tonight if you'd wanted to, if you'd have said, hey, I'm just not going? Would that work? Glyla, I'm sorry. Claire, I'm sorry. Would that work? No, it wouldn't work. Well, see, you got drafted in this. But let me tell you what you got drafted into. You got drafted in the greatest calling and the greatest benefit that a human being could ever be made a part of. And I know, you know, you know, that's the flesh wants to, no, nobody wants, you know, nobody wants anybody to tell them, you know, this is what you're going to do. You know, you want to make up your own mind that this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. But even after you turn your life over to God, and many of our young people, you know, they come to God when they're a little bitty. They don't really realize what they're doing when they get the Holy Ghost. You know, these little kids, you know, Hannah and Ethan and Elijah and Aneth and all of them, you know, when they start wanting what we've got, but they don't know, they really don't know what they're wanting. They just want what we want them to have, and they feel it, and they hear it, and they believe it, but they don't know what they're talking. They don't really know that I'm asking God to take my life and never leave me or forsake me. They don't realize, you know, what all that means. But it's the greatest thing that they could ever desire, and they don't really know what they're desiring. But they're made a part of it by inheritance. That's part of this. The Lord's my shepherd. Why? Because I'm part of the flock. And He makes me lay down. He prepares a place for me. In here where all this luscious food and spirit is, God does that. But whatever He takes me through, you know, I mean, every once in a while a bear comes up or a lion or two or three of them. And, you know, sometimes there's some sheep that are lost in the battles that we encounter. But God's still the shepherd. And He's still in control. And He's leading us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. His name's sake is the calling of His people. So that you can be a part of His namesake. This is His name. It's a strong tower. And he's leading you in the paths of righteousness so you can be a part of the family, the eternal family. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. You just got to get that to finally grow to a place that I know that sometimes I get right down to a point that I just can't seem to hold on. I've got there more than once, I'm telling you. There's been times I've said, God, please hold on to me and don't let me go because I don't have the strength to hold on to you. Please don't let me go because I know. I know what that entails. I know what it entails to, you know, to, if somebody said it's just as dark, dangerous ahead of God as it is behind Him. And I don't want to get in a dark and dangerous place with God. you know, and then this, we're under the shadow of death, every one of us. You still got a shadow of death over you. We're still haven't overcome mortality. We're still overcoming this the curse of death. Finally, the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. And we need to stay connected. We need his help. And we need to get to a place where we finally have enough confidence in him, but we don't fear it. We don't fear death. We're confident that we're not going to lose out to mortality. That someday we're going to say, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" My God, I don't know. You know, that's just an area that we don't have answers for. We just don't know when you take your last breath. I know by the Word of God. I know by the Word of God what happens to you. I know you cease to live right there. Unless you are an overcomer and make the bride, you die body, soul, and spirit when you take that last dying breath. But it's just a moment. There's no time in that. It's just a moment till you wake up again. I mean, last night, I woke up yesterday morning about 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep, and I got up, and I went down at the office, and I stayed at the computer and worked until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I realized I forgot to eat, so I went and ate something. And I know I don't look like I forget to eat very often, but a lot of times I don't eat but once a day. I get so mad at Sister Smith. Really, I don't get mad at her, but it aggravates me that little thing can eat as much as I eat and then eat candy bars and everything on top of it. And I can just watch her eat and gain weight. And she can eat all she wants and can't and loses weight half the time. She can't keep it on. There's something wrong here. Anyway, I tell her I love you the way you are, and you need to love me the way I am. But I went to bed. I had a headache at 6 o'clock, and 6 o'clock yesterday, and then I went to bed. And I woke up at 8 o'clock, and it was dusk outside. And when I woke up and looked outside, I thought it was morning. I thought, boy, I wonder why it must be early in the morning. Boy, I woke up, I felt good. The headache was gone. I thought I slept from 6 o'clock in the evening all night long. 12, I never slept that long. I jumped up out of bed, and, you know, and then finally I figured out what time it was. But what I'm telling you is when I was asleep, I had no consciousness of time. I didn't know how long I'd been asleep. It had been an hour, 2 hours, or 1,000 years. However long it was. So, God wants you to get confident enough in Him that if you go to sleep in death, that you don't fear the evil that death is going to take you. That your soul has been restored and it's secure with God. Hallelujah. But I do want to get to a place that I'd like to get to a place that I know death. I want to get there. I don't know what it's going to feel like, but I want to get to a place that I know death has lost its hold on me, Brother Daniels, completely. Whew. That, like Peter when he said, "I know that shortly I must put off this tabernacle." Brother, he wasn't talking about laying it down. He's talking about taking it off and putting on another one. Because Paul said, "We know that if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building not made with hands." Hallelujah. I want to achieve that place, Sister Bryant. That's my desire. That's my desire. It's my hope. It's been planted in me by you people. This ministry has planted that in me. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You ever need comfort? See, he added some things in here. You can tell this guy lived a life. You know, your rod and your staff, the word of God, the benefits of God's word, the shield of God's word, the protection of God's word, they comfort me. I've been through enough experiences. I've seen the word of God work. I've seen God's people blessed. I've seen them taken care of. I've saw that there's benefits in the kingdom of God. Not just, you know, I'm not like when I was talking earlier about just every good thing, every natural thing that's good. It's from God. Yes, but in the kingdom of God, there's added blessings. You know, look what Jesus said, told his disciples this. You are to hold on to it. Is it in Mark or Matthew 6 where he said, think not. How did he say it? Said, seek ye first. He's talking about how not worrying about how you're going to be clothed or what you're going to eat or where you're going to be sheltered, you know. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's a guarantee. You think that's not something good? That if you'll just keep him first and his righteousness. God, I want to be righteous. I want to do it right. You know, I just believe that. I believe there's a way to do this right. I believe, you know, I tell men, I had a man come to me in Jacksonville. He said, Brother Smith, I'm in a troubled area. Our church is falling apart. Our pastor's left the body. And I want to start a work. I need somebody's permission to start a work. I said, there ain't no one man can give you permission to do that in this body. I said, it's going to take a sanction of brethren. And I said, don't you do what you're thinking about doing. Not until God puts it in their minds to sanction what you're doing. If God's in it, God will put it in their minds. Let me tell you, saints, that. Get in order with your pastor and the man of God he puts on your life. And if he doesn't agree with what you think God is telling you to do, then just trust God to change his mind. God's able to do that. And if God doesn't, there is such a thing as appeal. There is such a thing as doing it right. God can help you do things right. If you'll trust him and have faith and believe that God can help you. You know, I will say this. There are men God can't change their mind. But there is an appeal process. And there is a ministry that can override just one man's decision. And that's the protection we have in here. We've got the protection of a ministry. Brother Leniger called it a interdependency. Our dependency is connected to one another and an authority. See, I'm watching this in this body. I'm seeing that there's God's letting us get in a place. God's watching spirits. See, the candle, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inner parts of the belly. Remember what God told the serpent? He said, on your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. He's talking about the spirit, the serpent spirit. If you follow the Bible through that symbol, the symbols of the belly and the serpent, you'll find out that the serpent, the belly is your innermost being. Jesus said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your innermost being, a of who you really are. But if the serpent nature stays down low and death, dust, it's going to eat. That's what the serpent is in that kind of condition. As long as we stay in a serpent condition, we're going to stay on our belly. We're going to stay doing our own will, working iniquity. Anything that's outside of God's will is iniquity. But if we can learn how to trust Him, if we can learn how to be led of Him, and led in the paths of righteousness, the right way of living. And hey, you know, when I'm talking about these things, I'm preaching myself much as I am to anybody in here. I ain't singling anybody out. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just talking about the Word of God. And I'm the one that is the first partaker. This sword's got two sides to it. And it swings back my way just as much as it does anybody else's. And I know I have to be led of God. I have to admit when I miss God. I have to take God's corrective hand and this, you know, the Lord dealing with me and helping me. I'm not exempt from that. None of us are. We're just, pastors are just first partakers of the fruit. That's the mouth. You know, the mouth eats it, and it's got to get in y'all through the mouth. Y'all, the mouth eats it, and it's got to be digested. We all get it together. When a pastor gets something from God, the whole church gets it because he can't shut up about it. And then we all have to eat it, and then we've got to digest it. And sometimes you get tired of hearing messages and you ain't going to quit hearing them until you eat it. And then you're going to have to digest it. You got to get it in your being, in your life. Some preachers have to keep preaching it because they still ain't got it themselves. You can't expect anybody else to get it till you get it. So, but his rod and his staff is a comfort. Thank God that when we do go through things, that we can find comfort in the things of God. Well, Elijah, he laid down under that juniper tree and went to sleep. That's the only place he could find any rest, is in the Word of God. That evergreen, that little evergreen tree, he found he could lay down and get out from underneath the heat of the sun and find enough peace and rest to go to sleep. And sometimes your life can get in such a way that it just takes all that God has brought you to and brought you through, and the precious Word of God that he's planted in your life that comfort you when you're in times of trouble, when you're going through trials and situations in life. And sometimes you just have to say, God, help me. Hold on. You know, I remember when I went through a real devastating time in my life when I told God, I said, God, please don't turn loose of me. I just don't have the strength to hold on as tight as I know I need to. But please don't turn loose of me. And he didn't. Some way there was something in me that I know I went for well over a year, maybe 2 years, that I couldn't feel God. I couldn't feel the Spirit of God. But I knew if I quit coming, I got so discouraged in that. But I knew if I quit, I'm done for. I knew there ain't no answer in that. And I just somehow, God held on to me enough that I could just keep coming. And one day, I felt the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Again, it wasn't anything, it wasn't a blockbuster. It was I could just feel his hand. I could just feel, and he just slowly began to pull me back up out of the pit. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Before long, I was shouting and hallelujahs. In Zion, Sister Jody. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, I don't feel like I've had too many enemies. You know, I really don't. I think I've been my worst enemy myself. But I know that, you know, in other words, I don't feel like we've suffered blood or very much to serve God. I know sometimes I just think there's two sides of serving God, and I think we have to grow to a place that we're considerate of both sides of how God works and how I know there's judgment, but I know mercy. There's so much mercy. God has so much mercy that I'm working on the mercy side. I'm not working on the judgment side. I know that there's things that has to be judged at times, but there's so much mercy that God has and shows, and I'm trying to learn how God does things and trying to be more like He is than the way I've been. So right now I'm working on that. I'll get a balance of it all before it's all over with. But I just wish I wasn't so old when I'm learning more about the ways of God. I'd like to got them earlier, but I'm not dwelling on that. I'm being thankful for what I am getting from God. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now God has done that. He's gave us knowledge. And my cup runneth over. He's give us here in the body of Christ, we're just in abundance of God's blessings, of the knowledge of the Word of God. I don't think that the early church had the knowledge of the Word of God that we've got right now on the day of Pentecost, even though they had a divine order. But it was available. I mean, when it was needed, revelation was there much more than we've got revelation now. But God has given us such an abundance of revelation. Of course, we're coming in the back door of this, see? So we're working out the road of all of this, and when we come to it, we won't have to come to all of the knowledge, but God gave us so much, and when He gets ready to put the final touches on this, it's going to be marvelous what God's going to do. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you stay in this under this shepherd we're reading about, and continue to let Him lead you, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. How many of y'all feel like that's already happened to you? Surely goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a promise. What a statement of faith. That we've got such promises, such hope, and what a Savior. What a shepherd tonight that's watching over our lives, taking care of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm not up on the, high level here of shouting, but I am encouraged. I love the Lord. I appreciate His goodness to us and His blessings on our life. Maybe we could pray and receive the offering here. The ushers have come. And I don't know. Let's pray for I know you've been praying for them. Let's keep praying for these, particularly these families that have had such loss. And if you hear of a need that we as a church or brotherhood you feel God wants us to get involved, well, let us know. Let's see if we can, if the Lord wants, it'd be a good way to let someone feel somebody in the body of Christ, reach out to them. So I know there's other needs here tonight. Remember the work in the Dominican Republic, Sister Durham. His name, I can't remember it. Don Fields, yes, Brother Fields in the Republic. Remember that need. What else? All right, Brother Crafton's mother, Sister Fisher. All right. Brother Dylan, yes, we've been praying for him. Sister Abraham. All right. Sister, also, my mother's a little bit sick today. She's not doing so well. So remember her in your prayers. And we've got a female standard poodle that's really sick, that's got 3-week-old puppies. Doctor wanted to spay her, and I said, oh, don't do that. Please don't do that. This is a very valuable female. So pray for that, if you would. I believe God's interested in our everyday situations. What else? Brother and Sister Crow. Yeah, let's keep remembering them. The Jerry York family. Anybody, did we hear from them tonight? All right. He's got an ox in the ditch. So keep him praying. Yes, Brother Weininger's got this inflammatory arthritis. It's really causing him to suffer. Keep remembering Brother Henry. He's got a health condition that really prevents him from being here right now, but he'd like to be in church. So let's keep remembering him. Let's pray for Brother Henry. Keep remembering him. Sister Bryant, Sister Karen, sick tonight. All right. All right, Brother Caleb. All right. All right. Pray for Sister Gail Ratliff. She's really suffering a lot of depression with loss of her mother. She just can't seem to get beyond it. Keep her in your prayers. Sister McGowan? All right. Brother McGowan. All right, Sister Cindy. Sister Cindy's sick in her body. All right, let's stand and ask God to touch us, meet these needs. Oh God, help us, Lord Jesus. God, touch these here in our area that had such loss with these storms. God, reach out and touch their lives and help them. God, I know some are your people. And then just the devastation, God, that they're encountering. Oh, God, let your mercy, your grace reach out. Let your spirit touch this area. Oh, God, help us, Lord, if you direct us. Help us, God, if you want to use us in some way to reach out to these people. We pray and ask you to touch them, oh God. Meet the needs that are so pressing on their lives, Lord. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Oh God, these needs we've mentioned, Lord. Those that are sick in their bodies, Brother and Sister Crow, oh God. Hallelujah. Sister Karen, Lord. Brother Fields, Sister Cindy, God, touch her and help her, Lord. Oh, God, touch Brother Weiniger and Brother McGowan tonight. Touch their bodies, Lord Jesus. Help them, oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Brother Henry, God, touch him. Those that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, this assembly, Sister Gail, God, touch her and help her. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, God bless you tonight as you give.
To trust him and give him some time. No matter how long it takes, for he is a God that you can't hurry, but he will be there. Don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on. Trust him.
Friday night. Is that right, brother? Friday night, 7? 6:30 is a fun night in the dining room. Taco night, $5 a person. And the gym will be open for the volleyball net is up. And so there'll be brain games. It's fun night. So Friday night, 7 o'clock for everybody. Everybody that's at 6:30. Also, Sister Lisa Scott graduates on the 24th of May at 11:30 in the morning at Jack Stevens Center at UALR, Wilbur D. Mills High School graduation. So you're invited, she said. So we are thankful for all of our youth that get through school, and she's going to be going to college also. She's going on to college, actually down in Hot Springs, but she's got somebody who's going to bring her back home every weekend for church. So anyway, she wanted us to announce that you're invited to her graduation. All right, shake hands and be friendly. Sister Linda.